Well, hello there. Thank you for tuning in to Healthy-ish. This, of course, is the podcast from Body and Soul. I am Felicity Harley. So is cold water therapy as worthwhile for our health as everyone spruiks? Well, Mike Tipton joins me today. He is a professor of human and applied physiology at the University of Portsmouth who has spent, well, 4 decades studying cold water immersion and human physiology. He joins us from the UK to answer that exact question and share his learnings and warnings. If you do like what you hear, I highly recommend you listen to Mike on Extra Healthy-ish, where we go deeper into the whole cold water immersion thing. You can search for that wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us on Healthy-ish today.
Great pleasure to be here, Felicity. Thanks for the invitation.
From the UK. Bit wet over there, as usual.
It's not going to rain today, which is a sort of red-letter day, because it's rained pretty much every day since Christmas, which is why most of our fields are underwater.
Oh, goodness.
And it's really hard to get out and do anything.
Anyway, that's a whole different podcast.
It's climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Australians know a lot about climate change.
Oh, do we ever? Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about cold water immersion. I mean, when I was researching you, I was almost overwhelmed with, 750 scientific papers and 4 decades in this space. What's your view of the latest cold therapy, ice bath craze?
So, it's a fine line to tread because we've become very sedentary in high-income countries, and that's had a knock-on effect that's decimating our health services. So I'm encouraging people to do things. I want people to go out and exercise. But, of course, by the same token, you want them to do it safely. And the problem with cold water immersion is that whilst it definitely activates your stress responses, so you release lots of stress-related hormones, it makes you feel good, et cetera, et cetera, it also brings with it very significant risks. And so you really need to make sure that you are fit and healthy enough to do it, because we're a tropical animal. We want to be in 28-degree air with no clothes on. And taking that tropical animal and plunging them into ice water is a very, very significant stress to the body.
I follow a few, people on social media in Canada, and I see them jumping into, they're cutting out a hole and then jumping in. And I often think, wow, what is actually happening? Is this safe? So, is that kind of thing safe, or is it something that you work yourself up towards, put a leg in first and then a body and then an arm and then a...
Yeah, so we lose about 1,000 people a day around the world to immersion-related incidents. They're not all into cold water. In the UK, we lose somebody about every 30 hours, a child a week. And we know that cold water can result in a whole range of problems, from peripheral vascular problems like non-freezing cold injury through to cardiac problems and drowning. So, no, it's not safe, but it can be done more safely if people go about it in an incremental way. So if they make sure they've had a medical, for example, even a medical won't pick up all the things that are likely to be problematic. I recently had somebody who had a brain aneurysm that burst when they went into cold water. Now, they're not going to know about that.
Mm.
So, but it's a big step in the right direction, let's say, to make sure that you are fit and healthy enough to do it. And there are a lot of conditions that would prevent you from being able to do that. But if you get the all clear and then you do it in an incremental way, you do it with a group of people, you wear a wetsuit if you need to, start in warm water, habituate, do all the smart things, commonsensical things. You wouldn't go out and buy a pair of training shoes and the first run you go on is a marathon.
No.
So apply the same logic to what is probably a larger stress. Plunging a tropical animal into freezing cold water.
Hmm. Well, so what are, provided you have the medical check, what are some of the benefits from putting your body into cold water?
The benefits are that people report are feeling alive and awake and all day. And we can understand the physiology under that, because you evoke a fight or this is not a place the body naturally wants to be. As I say, it wants to be in warm air, which is where we evolved. And so that fight or flight response is evoked by sudden fall of skin temperature, the release of adrenaline, noradrenaline, stress hormones. And yeah, I mean, that's understandable. The problem with it, at the same time, you're gasping, hyperventilating, your blood pressure's shooting up, and you're putting a significant strain on the heart. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. And some people will suffer from the latter, and there have been, obviously, a significant number of deaths on sudden immersion in cold water. It probably accounts for about 60% of those who die going into cold water die in the first minutes. Then you get claims for improved immune function. And you then get claims for conditions that have an inflammatory component that have been improved by going into cold water. The problem is they're exactly that. They're anecdotal claims. And, you know, I'm if you ask people that do open water swimming, cold water swimming, ice dips, if they think it's good for them, they'll say yes, because they'd be crazy to say no. So the science hasn't really progressed much beyond asking people if they think it's good for them. Now, what we really need to understand is the mechanisms that are being evoked. So with the immune system, there are some theories, but the theories haven't been tested. And the same with the inflammatory components. And the science, what's lacking with the science is a proper control conditions, where people do pretty much the same thing, but without the cold bit. Because, of course, when you go and do a dip or you swim, you normally go to a beautiful place, you get into water, you exercise, you meet people, you have a piece of cake and a hot chocolate afterwards. Any one of those things could be the benefit. Now, I'm happy that people report to me almost in tears, they're emotional about it, how it's changed their life. But what I don't know is if another activity that is much less dangerous might also have changed their lives. And until we get those proper controlled studies done, we are really in the realms of anecdote.
So can a simple cold shower evoke the same response physiologically?
Yes, you can. It's not as a powerful as response. I mean, the cold shock response, which is that initial response, we named it back in the 1980s, driven by a sudden fall in skin temperature. You've got cold receptors about 0.18 millimeters below the surface of the skin that are very sensitive to a change in temperature. So anything that changes your skin temperature rapidly, and the more of the skin you expose, the greater that cold shock response. It peaks going into water between about 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. So actually, to get the maximum physiological response, you don't really need to go into iced water, anything between about 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. Now, the difference between immersing and having a shower is when you go into a shower, you cool a smaller percentage of the surface area and you don't cool it as effectively. So you'll still get a mild cold shock response, but it won't be as great as doing a head-out immersion into water.
Mike, thank you for coming on Healthy-ish.
Pleasure, Felicity. Thanks for inviting me on.
Hey, if you do want to read more about, well, the 750 studies that Mike has published or been involved with, I will leave a link to his credentials on, well, in the show notes. If you did enjoy this chat, jump on, rate and review. You might have not agreed with everything Mike said, and that's okay. We welcome all sorts of feedback on this podcast. And of course, you can subscribe or share this out with a friend. Anything else, head to bodyandsoul.com.au. Follow us on socials, grab our print edition, which is on your local Sunday paper. And until tomorrow, stay healthy-ish. Hey, I'm Felicity Harley and I host Healthy-ish, where we chat to experts, influencers and people in the know from around the globe to arm you with the knowledge to make healthier decisions for your mind, body and soul.
I think if we're going to be focusing on health, like sleep is probably the biggest component of that.
I think sleep is the cornerstone.
Like choose the harder option, because I've never woken up and gone, I regret that run that I went at 4 a.m. I've never done that.
Search for Healthy-ish and Extra Healthy-ish wherever you get your podcasts.